he called a divine invasion, and spent 8 years trying to understand if he'd discovered a profound truth about consciousness, or simply gone mad.
You know what's fascinating about Dick's experience? It started with something as mundane as a dental procedure in 1974. He was recovering from sodium pentothal when suddenly he saw this pink beam of light that he claimed was transmitting information directly into his mind.
And that was just at the beginning. He wrote thousands of pages trying to understand what happened to him, exploring everything from religious mysticism to neural science. What's really interesting is how his actual life started to mirror elements from his own novels, particularly UBIK.
That must have been incredibly disorienting, feeling like you're living inside your own fiction. He actually described having to watch his own activities like an outsider, just to figure out what he was doing.
Well, here's where it gets even stranger. He started receiving what he called floods of information about ancient religions, having dreams that would program his actions for the following day, and experiencing profound personality changes. He even developed theories about being in contact with an ancient Greek Sibyl.
Speaking of his theories, I'm particularly intrigued by his vitamin experiments. What was he trying to accomplish there?
So he had this idea that certain supplements might enhance brain function. And in true Philip K. Dick fashion, he decided to experiment on himself. He wondered if he had somehow activated his right brain hemisphere to work alongside his left in a new way. Even that explanation wasn't enough to explain the content of his experiences.
That's fascinating and a bit concerning, honestly. But what about the religious aspects? I understand his experiences took on an increasingly spiritual dimension over time.
Oh, absolutely. By 1975, he was writing about direct encounters with God, exploring Gnostic concepts, and having what he described as blissful, truly mystical experiences. He would see these perfect geometric forms with incredible harmony and balance, and he believed he could sense the actual elasticity of the universe.
The way he approached all this is remarkable, though. He maintained this incredible self-awareness throughout the whole process.
That's exactly right. He could step back and analyze his experiences with remarkable objectivity, even while believing he was receiving messages from what he called an AI voice and encountering divine wisdom in the form of Saint Sophia. He was simultaneously the experiencer and the investigator.
Well, that must have created some interesting cognitive dissonance. How did he reconcile these different perspectives?
You know what's fascinating about that? By 1978, he started integrating psychological perspectives into his understanding, considering how stress might have played a role, while still maintaining that something genuinely divine had occurred. He had this remarkable ability to hold seemingly contradictory viewpoints simultaneously.
That reminds me of quantum physics in a way. The ability to hold two apparently contradictory states as simultaneously true. Did he ever make that connection himself?
He absolutely did. And in 1980, he had this incredible breakthrough where he realized that every theory he proposed led to an infinite regress of thoughts. He came to understand that the very infinitude of his theories itself pointed to God. It was like a philosophical puzzle that became
such a mind-bending concept, the idea that the endless questioning itself becomes the answer.
And here's where it gets even more interesting. In his final analysis, he concluded that Satan, not God, had been presenting him with these sophisticated delusions. But even that became part of his understanding of divine wisdom. This principle he called enantiodromia, where everything eventually transforms into its opposite.
So, in the end, did he feel he had actually figured out what happened to him?
Well, that's the beautiful irony of it all. He found a kind of resolution, but not the kind he initially sought. He came to understand that some mysteries aren't meant to be solved, but experienced. The very process of seeking understanding became more valuable than finding definitive answers.
That's really profound. The idea that sometimes the questions themselves are more important than the answers.
And you know what makes this story so relevant today? We're living in an age where artificial intelligence and virtual reality are blurring the lines between what's real and what's simulated. Exactly the kind of themes Dick explored in his fiction and then encountered in his own life.
That's such a good point. His experiences almost feel like a preview of the questions we're grappling with now about consciousness and reality.
Looking back, what's truly remarkable is how his quest to understand these experiences mirrors our own collective struggle to make sense of consciousness and reality. He was willing to follow the evidence wherever it led, even if it meant challenging everything he thought he knew.
So, he left us with this incredible record of what it's like to encounter something that completely shatters your understanding of reality, and then try to put the pieces back together.
You know, in many ways, Dick's journey feels more relevant now than ever, as we push the boundaries of what's possible with technology and our understanding of consciousness. Experiences raise profound questions about the nature of reality and our place in it.
That's really what it comes down to, isn't it? The courage to keep asking questions, even when the answers seem impossible to grasp.